I would like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. I would like to read from Joshua chapter 3. We began trying to study this morning about the subject of sanctification. The word sanctify means to set apart for an holy use. Now, God has sanctified a people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. God has set them apart for a holy use. God did that before the foundation of the world. They were sanctified by God the Father. They are preserved in Christ Jesus, our Lord. They are called by the Holy Spirit. And they will one day be with God in the eternal heaven forever. So understand that there is a sanctification that's taught in the Word of God that God does for His people. God has set us apart for a holy use. And when we enter the eternal heaven, that will be the consummation of predestination and election and justification, redemption. All of that will be complete when we enter into the eternal heaven. We'll be able to give God the praise, honor, and glory that's due His great and holy name. We have been set apart by God for that holy use of praising Him forever in the eternal heaven. God also sometimes sets individuals apart for special work in their lives. God set Jeremiah apart. God set John the Baptist apart. God set many people apart for particular works in their lives. Then the Word of God talks about how God sets places apart. He sets them apart for a holy use. This building is a sanctuary. It's a place that's been set apart for God's people. It's been set apart for a holy use for God's people to come together to worship God. So it's a sanctuary. Part of the root word of that is to sanctify, set apart for a holy use. And then the Word of God talks a lot about us as the people of God who have been sanctified by God. We've been made pure by the blood of Christ. God's Word tells us to sanctify ourselves. That is, I am to set myself apart for a holy use. I'm to sanctify my life. My life is not supposed to be the same after I've been born of the Spirit of God. God has called me from death unto life. God has called me to walk in a newness of life. And that's part of what's entailed in me sanctifying myself. God's Word also says that a husband can sanctify his wife, and the wife can sanctify her husband. Parents can sanctify their children. So there are many different ways that we can sanctify ourselves, and we can sanctify other people, and we can sanctify things and places. Your home ought to be sanctified. Your home ought to be set apart for a holy use. You ought to have a guard up to keep evil from coming into your home. You ought to have a shield up. You ought to say now, like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll see, what had Joshua done there? Joshua had sanctified himself, but he had also sanctified his family and his house and said, we are going to serve the Lord. Our house is set apart for a holy use. Does not mean when you sanctify yourself, does not mean you're sanctimonious and you're holier than thou. It does not mean you have a Pharisaical attitude, because a person that has really sanctified himself is going to know he has not fully sanctified himself. You'll see that as we look at the Word of God, the Lord willing, tonight. You'll see that sanctification is a process, and I ought to keep sanctifying more and more of my life. Where I go, what I do, I need to set myself apart. But not just where I go and what I do, my mind needs to be sanctified. I need to set my mind apart for a holy use. My eyes ought to be sanctified. What I look at, I determine for the most part what I look at, and I'm supposed to sanctify my eyes, set them apart for a holy use. Now, I want us to begin tonight in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. The children of Israel, you remember earlier, 40 years before this, Moses had been leading the children of Israel, and they got up to the very borders of Canaan land. They had been brought out of Egypt by God. They had been brought through the wilderness. God had fed them in the wilderness. And then they came up to the borders of Canaan land, and God told them to go in and possess the land. You know what they did not do? They did not do what God told them to do. They did not set themselves apart for a holy use. Rather, they decided that they would rather go back down into the wilderness. And you know what happened to them, because they did not sanctify themselves and they did not do what God told them to do. They all died in the wilderness. The people of God who have been sanctified by God, who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we are accountable to God for how we live each day in our lives. And it is extremely important that I learn to sanctify myself. And when Joshua, 40 years after the mistake that the children of Israel made under the leadership of Moses, 40 years later now, the children of Israel are back at Canaan land, at the border of Canaan, about to cross the Jordan River. And God told the children of Israel, before they crossed that river, He said, now sanctify yourselves. Look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. The scripture says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Tell me again. Want a child 12 years or under? Tell me, somebody other than the one that told me this morning. I want to know, what does the word sanctify mean? All right, got quite a few hands now. All right, Brother Michael. Very good. Set apart for a holy use. Now, had God already set the children of Israel apart for a holy use? Not only in an internal sense, but God had chosen them to experience great blessings in this world. And now God, through Joshua, God says, now sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart for a holy use. And then He says, after He told them, sanctify yourselves, He says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let me tell all of you tonight, that if you will sanctify yourself unto the Lord, if you will sanctify yourselves, you will see the Lord doing wonderful, marvelous works in your life. These people of God, they did what Joshua told them to do. Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, and they sanctified themselves. And did you know the next day when they got to the Jordan River, you remember how God told them for the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to walk out and step on that water, and the waters began to part in that Jordan River. Wasn't that a marvelous work? They saw the marvelous work of God. And the scripture says the children of Israel walked through the Jordan River on dry ground. God blessed them there. And so it is that when the people of God sanctify themselves, and what happened? What happened the next day when they got to Jericho after they had seen the parting of the waters of the Jordan River? Then they got to Jericho. You remember how God instructed them to march around the city of Jericho? And as they marched around the city of Jericho, they were sanctifying themselves by doing what God had told them to do. And they followed the specific instructions that God gave them step by step. And finally, the walls of Jericho came falling down. Do you see the marvelous works of God being manifested in the lives of the people of God that are willing to sanctify themselves? Now, they didn't stay sanctified. This is an amazing thing, you know. Sometimes when I am in trouble with God, have any of you ever been in trouble with God? Have any of you ever been under the chastening hand of God? And sometimes when that's happening in my life, I think, Lord, if I can ever get straightened out, if You'll have mercy on me this time, and if You'll help me get this mess straightened out, I'll do much better. And did you know when He does bless me and by His grace lifts me back up? And for a while I do much better and I walk closer to the Lord and I am more sanctified than I was for a while. And I stay sanctified for sometimes 3 or 4 days. I'm being a little facetious, but do you understand? I just don't stay sanctified. I need to pray, God, help me every day. Every day when I get up, I need to say, Lord, Help me to sanctify my eyes, my mind. Let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Help me to take up my cross, to deny myself and to follow you. Help me, Lord, to truly be a servant of the Lord. Help me to be a pure vessel unto the Lord. Help me to sanctify myself. I thank you, Lord, for sanctifying me before the foundation of the world. I thank you, Lord, for saving me and redeeming me at the cross of Calvary. And now help me to live in such a way that I am sanctifying myself for a holy use as I live here in this world. Look at the 2 Chronicles. Go forward in your Bibles. Not going to stay here in Joshua, but I want you to know that God performed many miracles there. Then we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This is after they had been sanctified very much in the book of Joshua. And then we find in the book of Judges that they would sanctify themselves and they would have a great spiritual leader. And then before you know it, they were right back down in the pit. And then they would be under the chastening hand of God. And then they would be lifted up again. And God would say, sanctify yourselves. And they would sanctify themselves again. The whole book of Judges is one cycle after another of the children of Israel being lifted up, being sanctified, and then going away from God and experiencing the judgments of God. Now in 2 Chronicles, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Listen please to verses 15. Let me say this. If you do not sanctify yourself, your house will not be sanctified. And if you do not sanctify yourself and your house, this church will not be sanctified very long. When you have a body of people that are not sanctifying themselves, before long, a church becomes corrupt because the church is no longer made up of people who are sanctifying themselves. So that's what happened here. I want you to follow this. The first thing that they're going to do now is they're going to begin to sanctify themselves. And then once they sanctify themselves, they're then going to go into the house of the Lord and clean house there. You know where they began to clean house? First of all, they began to clean house within their own lives and within their own families. And they sanctify themselves and they sanctify their families. And then they could sanctify the house of the Lord. Do you know where most Christians want sanctification to begin in our nation? The White House. Let me tell you something. It'll never start there, brethren. It'll never start in the White House. If you want to see a nation return unto the Lord, it's going to take me and you sanctifying ourselves. It's going to take me sanctifying my family and you sanctifying your family. It's going to take this church sanctifying the church. I'm not just saying set a building apart. I'm talking about everything we do must follow the Word of God. Sanctify the church. Look now. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 15, and they gathered their brethren, and what's the next two words? They sanctified themselves. Isn't that beautiful? Is that good that they sanctified themselves? And sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. What did they have to do before they could go cleanse the house of the Lord? Sanctified themselves, and then they went and sanctified the house of the Lord. Verse 16 says, and the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. Again now, what caused the corruption in the church? What caused the corruption in the temple? It was corruption in the lives of the people that resulted in corruption in the temple. What causes corruption in churches today? It starts with corruption in the lives of the people of God. When you and I don't sanctify ourselves and we don't sanctify our families, the church is not going to be sanctified. And when the church in America is not sanctified, the nation will not be sanctified. The problem in America is not in the White House primarily. The primary problem in America is that the churches are not following the Word of God. And it goes back further than that. It's the families are not following the Word of God. And it goes back further than that, the individuals. So I'm sure if I were to say, how many of you want America to be straightened out? Everybody's hand would be up. Fine. You want America to get straightened out? There's the answer right there. Sanctify yourselves. That's the answer. Sanctify yourselves. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord. This is 2 Chronicles 29, verse 16. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness
that they found in the temple of the Lord, into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. The brook Kidron was their garbage dump. It's where they burned all their garbage. The valley of Kidron was a place where there was always smoke coming up from the valley of Kidron. Listen, brethren, we need a clean house. Some of you have houses that are immaculate. I get a little nervous when I go into some people's houses because everything is so clean. And I think if they come to my house, and it's not my wife's fault, please everybody understand that. Anything unclean around our house is because it's my fault. But it is more important that you have a spiritually clean house than it is that you have a physically clean house. Now, did these priests have to do something before they could clean house in the house of the Lord? Well, it's the first thing they had to do. Sanctify themselves, and then they could clean the house of the Lord. Come down to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Well, I skipped a verse. Come down to verse 34. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Listen, please, to verse 34. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. Isn't that amazing? The Levites were more sanctified than the priests were. I've seen that happen quite often, where you see children of God, they're not ordained or anything else, but they are so sanctified, so close to the Lord, and they're more sanctified than a lot of preachers are. Isn't that one? No, it's terrible. But it's wonderful. It's terrible that the priests are not sanctified, but it's wonderful when the people are sanctified. I wish I could just take you all the way through 2 Chronicles. That's not where I want to concentrate. Let me give you one more verse. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, look at verse 15. 2 Chronicles. Now remember, first of all, the priests had to sanctify who? Who did the priests need to sanctify? The sinners out there? No. The priests needed to sanctify themselves. And then they could begin to sanctify their families, and they could sanctify the people. They could work with the people, and they could sanctify the house of the Lord. Now, one of the things that they did in the house of the Lord was they had the Passover. But one of the reasons they couldn't have the Passover was because things were so corrupt, they couldn't have the Passover. Did that same thing happen to the church at Corinth? The things were so corrupt there, God wasn't pleased with their Passover, with their Lord's Supper. They're remembering the Lord's Supper. Wasn't pleased with it at all. You know why? Corruption was there. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 15. The Word of God says, then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings unto the house of the Lord. You see, they were fixing to have the Passover. What did they decide? I'm ashamed. We can't have the Passover. We need to make some offerings unto the Lord because we're so sinful. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 17 says, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passover for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. Did you know that Job sanctified his children? He prayed for them. In Job chapter 1, verse 5, Job was sanctifying his children. The Scripture teaches us that. Now let's go to the New Testament. I want you to see, let's begin in 2 Timothy. Look in your Bibles, please, at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to notice verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Please follow this in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. He gives an analogy. He compares your body to a house. Is your body a house? Yes, it is. Your body is the house of the living God. It's the temple of God. He compares your body to a house. And he says, now in a house, there are good things in a house and there are some bad things in a house. Name some good things at your house, Brother Chris. You have a wonderful spiritual wife. You have the Word of God. I want you to think about the spiritual good things you have in the house, in your house. There are some wonderful things. But in every house,
there's not only good things there, there's some bad things in every house. Now, I may not have any idea what goes on in your house. You may not have any idea what goes on in my house. But there's sometimes some bad things that go on in my house. Watch this now. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. The Word of God says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. That's some good things. That's good things. But also of wood and of earth. You know what happens to that wood and earth when the fire tries it? It burns it up because it's not a vessel pleasing to the Lord. So in a great house there are vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Are there some things in your house that dishonor God? Boy, what do you need to do? What do you need to do to your house? Starts with an S. You need to sanctify your house. Clean house. He says in verse 21, you've got in your house, your natural house, your body, and in your family, and in the church. He says, if a man therefore purge himself. What does that mean, purge himself? Clean it out. Cut it off. Get rid of it. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Now, who determines whether this house is sanctified? Does God clean it up, or do you have to clean it up? If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. For Joshua and the children of Israel back there in Joshua chapter 3, when they sanctified themselves, were they vessels of honor, prepared for a good work as they went into the land of Canaan? And did God bless them miraculously when they had sanctified themselves and they went into the land of Canaan? And we see the power of God being manifest. If a man, if you and you and you and you, don't worry about everybody else right now. Just please, just you. Be concerned about you. Sometimes wives, all they think about is their bad old husbands. And sometimes husbands just think about their wives. But please, for tonight, just the rest of tonight, just think about you. What are things in you that need to be sanctified? Sanctify yourself. You will never be effective in sanctifying your family until you diligently, fervently try to sanctify yourself. You're never going to be effective in sanctifying the church until you and your family are sanctified. Then you're going to be able to take the next step. Go with me back to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to think very clearly. I want to speak very clearly about some specific ways that you can sanctify yourself. Now, basically, let me sum up sanctifying yourself. There are two things that are necessary for you to sanctify yourself. One is you have to get rid of the bad things in your life. And then the other is you have to be very active with good things in your life. Please just remember it. That's as simple as I can state it. If you're going to sanctify yourself, you've got to get rid of some bad things, all the bad things, and you got to have good things that you are actively doing in your life. It's not enough. Some people think they're a Christian and pleasing to God just by keeping the thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And they think, oh, I'm a good Christian because I don't do all those bad things. Let me tell you something. It's not enough to be a Christian to stop doing bad things. It is imperative. It is required. It's an absolute necessity that you be actively doing the good things. That's when you're sanctified, is when you're getting rid of the bad things and you're filling your life with the good things. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 5. He talks about getting rid of the bad things first. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 5, for this ye know that no whoremonger, this is Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, the Word of God says, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, we don't like to talk about covetousness, do we? Covetous. Does anybody know a covetous man? Coveting things. Give me another word, because a lot of times people don't have any idea what you're talking about coveting. What's another word? Materialistic. Is that coveting? Now, you can covet all kinds of things, but sometimes we get carnal-minded instead of spiritual-minded. wanting things. This ye know, Ephesians 5:5, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Hath any inheritance where? In the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Our children of God, sometimes in that category of being children of disobedience. And what happens? The wrath of God is on the children of disobedience. He says in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Let me say this. One of the ways that you have to sanctify yourself is you have to get away from people that are not living right. I want to say to every teenager here, if your friends are not living close to God, if your friends are not outstanding Christians, then you need to sanctify yourself and get away from them. You need to sanctify yourself and get away from them. That's what this is saying. Be not partakers with them. Verse 8 says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Come down to verses 11 and 12. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Are you supposed to have fellowship with those that are walking ungodly? Are you supposed to have fellowship with them? What do you have to do? Sanctify yourself, separate yourself. Well, what are they going to say about you when you separate yourself from them? Oh, they're going to call you narrow-minded, bigoted. They're going to call you self-righteous. They're going to call you all kinds of names. But you need to understand God has called you to be separate. God's called you to be sanctified. And you need to sanctify yourself. Evil, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, that evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what happens to a person that's been trained up right? And taught right, and they've got good manners, they've got good conduct, they're living right. You know what happens when they start to associate with people that are living ungodly? Evil associations corrupt good manners. Those children, those young people will lose the good manners they've been taught when they begin to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship. That's part of sanctifying yourself, is having no fellowship with those individuals that are living ungodly. Go back up in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's some other things the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 beginning in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. The Word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There are all kinds of ways that you might be yoked together with unbelievers. One of the most horrible things that ever happens is when a Christian marries someone who is not an outstanding Christian. You are unequally yoked together. And any parents that participate in that wedding ceremony, and any preacher that carries out that wedding ceremony, he is accountable to God for joining two people that are unequally yoked together. You parents and you grandparents, you better take a stand and say, I will not participate in this ungodly marriage. When unequally yoked together, when people that are believers are getting married to unbelievers, when people that love the Lord are marrying people that don't love the Lord, you have a responsibility. You shouldn't even be letting them date those people. They shouldn't be living in your house and dating people that don't love the Lord. Now, you may say this is too hard, but I'm telling you, brethren, we're so far away from God, there's a lot of things that are going to sound too hard to you. But we better get back to what God's Word says. Come down to verse 17 and 18, and I'll close right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The Word of God says, wherefore, come out from among them. Is that a pleasant thing to do, to come out from among those people that you love? Those people that have been your friends, that are walking ungodly. Is it a hard thing to do? Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith, be ye separate. What's that? What's the word that we've been looking at today? That be ye separate. What's that? Sanctifying yourselves. You see? I'm asking you the question tonight. Have you sanctified yourself? I'm asking that question to everybody here. Have you sanctified yourself? To some degree. Thank you. I wish we'd had time. Some of you want to study this more. I've got a bunch more scriptures I'd love for you to read and study about sanctifying yourself. Wherefore come out from among them. This is 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. What do you have to do? What do you have to do? You remember back there in Joshua chapter 3, he said, sanctify yourselves. Tomorrow you're going to see some great works of God. You know what will happen in your life when you sanctify yourself and your family? You'll see the great works of God carried out in your life. May God help us to do that, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.